Today our scripture is a classic case of distraction, and we're in Exodus 32, verses 1 through 14. If you could stand as we hear the scripture read. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Some smart aleck young men use this as a proof that it's okay to get their ears pierced. So anyway, an aside. So if you need that to use against your parents, there it is right in the Bible. Okay, so we're at verse 3. So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, now the Lord and Moses were up on the mountain, and the Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I've seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone so that my wrath might burn hot against them and I might consume them. And of you, Moses, I'll make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? What should the Egyptians say? It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. Change your mind and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this that I have promised I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned to bring on the people. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for this day and thank you for this gathering of your precious people. God, we ask that you bless this time of worship, that you continually shine in us and shine through us. Let your Holy Spirit loose so that we might consider what it means to come home to you this day. Remind us, Holy God, of how you call each of us and how you beckon us into your love and into your service. Thank you for this powerful and interesting story between you and Moses. Thank you for the conversation we have recorded between you two, and help us to learn from it and help us to grow into it and help us to become one with you as we strive to be your people, brothers and sisters in the living Christ. Thanks to the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite prayers is this: "O God, your heart is our home, and to you we journey this day." Perhaps this is one of my favorite prayers because of my itinerant childhood, in which we moved back and forth between Rhodesia and the U.S. about every year till I was 8 years old. I have a hard time feeling at home. As a kid, because of all of the movement and transition I experienced, I never really felt like I fit in anywhere. Plus, I had these huge glasses as thick as Coke bottles. And when I looked down and my eye went crossed, everyone said, "There's the preacher's daughter. She's got an evil eye." At the Inca middle school football game last Thursday night, I told someone that I always have this creeping feeling that everyone is watching me because I'm a weirdo. This self-perception does not nurture a sense of feeling at home, by the way. So when I found out as a seminary student that Abraham hounded God to find a place to settle and to raise his family and to grow in faith and relationship with God, and when God responded to Abraham, "Abraham, I am the place." Sounds good, doesn't it? "Abraham, I am the place," God said to Abraham. Well, I took a hold of that word for my life, and I've never really let it go. For if God is my home, my true home, and if God is our home and our true home, our ground of being and all of time collapsed into the past, the present, and the future, well, then we are truly always at home, right? Now, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." In other words, make your home with me. And when you make your home with me, well, I'll make my home with you. Now, this word sounds like good news, especially to those of us who feel like we are perpetually wandering in the wilderness, thinking about our place and our purpose in the world, stuck in feelings of weirdness or idiosyncratic habits that Sandy revealed in her newsletter article for this month, like diluted Dr. Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper, by the way. She only has this much Diet Dr. Pepper in a cup this big. I wonder what that really tastes like. In addition to revealing her own idiosyncratic behavior in the newsletter, she told us that Tim has just a few idiosyncrasies as well. He's fascinated with condiments. Ketchup, hot sauce, mustard, chili sauce, anything. So you know this word that God is our home is good news to all of us, because we're all idiosyncratic and a little weird once you get to know us. Can I get an amen? So, now the trouble with this idea about God being home to us is that sometimes home can be fraught with danger. Home can be the place where you feel belittled and where you feel constantly on guard. Home can be a place where you feel loved and hated at the same time, and where your whole self can be wrapped up in the way your dad takes a deep breath when he walks in from work. Or your whole self can be wrapped up in the way your mother throws around the pots and pans when she's fixing dinner. Now, don't talk to my children about these deep breaths or throwing pots and pans around. Okay. But home at the same time, can be the place where you learn your sense of humor. It can be the only place where the mashed potatoes taste right and where the sugar cookies bake up light and airy, no matter how many times you try mom's recipe at home. Home is just about the only place I know where knuckles rubbed on your scalp, we used to call that a noogie, I don't know what people call it now, but where the knuckles rubbed on your scalp feel like love, And home can be the only place where the stories of great Aunt Ethel and great Uncle Albert are funny. Because if you tell those stories about great Aunt Ethel and great Aunt Albert anywhere else, these stories are pitiful and they're not funny at all. Home can be the place where you can tunnel under your covers and you can feel like you are deep in Luray Caverns in Virginia and you are finding lost dinosaur bones or you are solving the world's biggest problems. Now, this is the kind of homecoming that we celebrate today. That finding love and finding home in God, it transforms our minds and it changes our minds. It transforms us into a people who are no longer centered on ourselves, but instead we're centered in the good of others. Can I get an amen to that? So home is both life-giving and death-dealing. And that's really the conversation that Moses and God are having on the top of Mount Sinai in Exodus 32. The people of Israel are down below, and they're being led by Aaron, who is Moses' silver-tongued brother. Remember, Moses said, but who's going to talk for me? And God said, well, Aaron can go because he really can really talk up a blue streak. And so Aaron is down there with the Israelite people, and they are partying it up. And they are worshiping the golden calf, and they're eating and drinking till their hearts are content. It's like they're so cool, focused on that video game. What's it called? Mobigo. They're focused on that golden calf. They're Mobigo. And as God and Moses are witnessing what's going on, they have a conversation like parents have. Your children are down there. They're not my children. They're yours. How about, God says, how about, let's just make it you and me, Moses. Can you just remember when it was you and me, Moses, in the burning bush? Let's forget about those kids down there at the bottom. And Moses says, wait a second. You called them, Yahweh, holy God. You made covenant with them to be their God. You said, I heard you, you said that their descendants would number the stars in the sky. Wait a second. You cannot abandon them now. Moses says, what a gutsy guy to have this kind of conversation with the holy God. This is a closed door bedroom conversation, if you know what I mean. When mom and dad say, you can't come in here, and they close the master bedroom door, and only grown-ups can go behind that door, it's the middle of the night, deep talk, when commitments are unearthed, and when these kinds of dedications and determinations are explored and where choices have to be made. It's the time when even God has to choose to love the ones that God brought out of Egypt when all they do is complain. Even God, who displayed powers in the plagues and the Passover spirit, even God has his hand on the doorknob of that master bedroom, and he is tapping his foot, and he's getting ready to walk out if it weren't for Moses. Moses implores, Moses begs God to stay in relationship with these stubborn and stiff-necked, murmuring, complaining people. Does it sound familiar at all? Surely you're not stubborn, stiff-necked, complaining, or murmuring at all, right? It's amazing to me. Moses pleads not only for the Israelite people, but Moses pleads for us. Do not bring disaster on your people, even though they're a pain in your divine rear. Now, what Christians might call this, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying that later. What Christians call this is a come to Jesus meeting. Ever had a come to Jesus meeting? A come to Jesus meeting is when hard choices have to be made, and when someone has to decide, in spite of how we do not live up to each other's expectations of love and home and relationships, someone has to decide to stay planted. Now, it doesn't always work this way. I'm very well aware of it. But I want to tell you about Becky and Steve. Steve wrote for the Charlotte Observer. He's a member at the church I served in Charlotte, North Carolina. Smart as a whip, an expert on Southern literature, an amazing conversationalist, knows a lot about a lot of things, and in the early 90s was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. His wonderful wife, Becky, was an editor for the Charlotte Observer for many years. They have two great kids, grown-up girls. Now have grandkids, and through Steve's decline, he started out, of course, being able to walk, and then it became more difficult for him to walk because of the nerve damage and because of what MS does to a person. So then he moved to a cane, and he had to struggle up the choir steps every Sunday. And then from a cane, he had to move to a wheelchair, and at the wheelchair, he couldn't make it up to the choir loft anymore. I'm happy to say that now that church has been renovated and there is a lift that can take Steve back to the choir loft, and he's singing every Sunday. MS began to change his personality a little bit. It changed the expectations that Becky had of her husband, her bright and shining, intelligent husband. All of a sudden, she was having to help him with his shoes and help him to dress himself in the morning. She had a lot of choices, my brothers and sisters, and her choice had to be love. Oftentimes we choose not to love, and we choose to get away. And that is a natural choice for us. But there are some times when we see relationships that mimic what happens between Moses and God. Sometimes we decide that the damage is too great and the hurt and the struggle is too hard and that this particular relationship is actually narrowing our lives rather than expanding our lives, and we decide we cannot stay in the relationship. And that's what differentiates us from the God Almighty, from God Almighty. This decision is true, and oftentimes the decision to leave is healthy. I know this to be the case. And in the decision to leave, people become more healthy and more whole and more holy. But it's no less difficult than the decision to stay. Can I get an amen? Thank goodness we are not God. We're human beings. And we cannot, because of our humanity, make the same decisions that God makes every time. And thanks to Moses' intercession on our behalf, God remains God. And that's what we come home to today. In this case, and in today's scripture in the book of Exodus, God chooses to be home for those wandering in the wilderness. And God has to choose this. And you know what? God chooses to be home again and again, over and over, after complaint, 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 complaint. God chooses to remain steadfast. This is what it means for God to be God to us. God is solidly committed to stiff-necked, stubborn, weirdo people. Can I get an amen? And that's what it means to come home to Francis Asbury today. To value and celebrate God's steadfastness and God's commitment and dedication to us. Though we wander away and play little video games or spend our lives on our cell phones, though we make little gods like retirement accounts and home equity, and we make little gods like closets full of clothes we do not wear and high-end kitchens which we do not cook in. We come home to be with the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. The one who is there when we turn away and our love fails. God's love remains steadfast, sturdy, strong, and true. God's love never fails. Thanks be to God, whose heart is our home, and to whom we journey this day. Amen.